The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the word.
The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, the 11th chapter. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silent, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 148 responsively. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all the angels of heaven. Praise him, all the hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name only is exalted. His splendor is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people and praise for all his glorious servants.
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was sealed on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Any of you who have had children in your home over the last maybe 20 years are probably familiar with this book called Love You Forever by Robert Munsch. And I'm going to read this story, so if some of you have to leave before I start it, it's very sad, that I would understand. This is a wonderful story, and I'm not going to show you the pictures because I'm not going to, I'm going to ask you to just imagine your own pictures in your head. The only one I want you to look at is the one on the cover, which is a delightful picture in itself. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, "I love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby will be." The baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old and he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves, he pulled all the food out of the refrigerator, and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, "This kid is driving me crazy." But at night, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled over the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner, and he never wanted to take a bath, and when Grandma came to visit, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at nighttime, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. And if he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and rocked him in her arms back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And the boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. And he had strange friends. And he wore strange clothes. And he listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in the zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. And if he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. That teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and he got a house across town. But sometimes, on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened up his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of his bed. And if that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up, held him in her arms, and rocked him back and forth and back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. One day she called up her son and said, you'd better come see me because I'm very old and sick. So her son came to see her. When he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up and rocked her back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And he sang this song. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be. When the son got back home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby will be. The cycle of parent-child love goes round and round. And as you wipe away your tears now from that heart-touching story, think about the words that we heard in our gospel passage this morning. These words were taken not from a resurrection story after Easter, but these words from John's gospel were taken from what's called the farewell discourse, the words that Jesus shared with his disciples at the Last Supper, just hours before he would go to the cross. And Jesus says farewell to his disciples, and he says to us, his current day disciples as well, with urgent message, farewell. But a word in there. Jesus says, he calls his disciples little children, a very affectionate term to hold them in, to draw them close to himself. And when they were at that very tender moment, he says, I have something important to tell you. A new commandment. Love one another. Now, what makes this commandment new? It's not new. We've heard this commandment before. In fact, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, that is one of the commandments that God gives to the people of Israel. Love one another. But what makes it new is that Jesus adds, after that comma, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says this is more than just a human, natural kind of love. God, Jesus says, I want you to love one another with a love like God has for you. What a deep, abiding love. In fact, it is so important, that kind of love that Jesus wants us to have for one another, that Jesus says that this is the hallmark of being a Christian. This is how people will know that you're a Christian. They don't know you're a Christian because you wear a cross around your neck. They don't know you're a Christian because you come and sit in the church on Sunday morning. They don't know you're a Christian because you tithe to your church community. People will know you're a Christian by the fact that you love other people, that you love one another. This is how people will know you're a Christian. Not that that other stuff isn't important. Of course it is. But what is important is how you love one another. And Jesus says, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This new kind of love that Jesus calls us to might require us to open doors that we may have closed against others. The reading from the Acts of the Apostles with Peter being forced to look at people that he had formerly closed off, saying, no, these are not people that I should associate with. And he was forced to open that door because who am I to hold out what God has chosen? Who am I to exclude what God has included? So Peter learns that lesson. As Christians, we too need to learn that lesson, to open the door that we may have closed to other people, to respond to the cries of those who are in despair, to forgive people who may have hurt us, to forgive even oversight, mistakes. We also know that in this new love, that we have been given this responsibility and the ability to love in a way that forgives those hurts, that can open those doors, that can bring peace where there is turmoil and despair in the world. By this, you will know my disciples, that they have love for one another. Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter in church time, but in the United States, we celebrate Mother's Day. In our secular time, it's a holiday. That's why I read this story, because I think we can find a deep connection between the kind of mother's love that's shown in this story and this new commandment that Jesus gives us in today's gospel. Most of us experience love at first in our mother's arms, in our father's arms, and if you're really lucky, in the arms of your grandparents as well. The effect of a parent's love on a child cannot be overestimated. Any pastor who has done spiritual counseling can tell you that people who have not experienced that kind of unconditional love end up in the pastor's office saying things like, I can't believe that God really loves me. I can't believe that God would forgive my sins. Or that person never shows up in the pastor's office at all. They just go through life feeling unloved or unwanted. But mothers aren't perfect. Even on Mother's Day, mothers aren't perfect. And some mothers and some fathers, oh, Sally is. Some mothers and some fathers are less than perfect, are less perfect than they could be. Some of us did not grow up with that kind of unconditional love. We didn't grow up in a loving environment. And those of us who did are very fortunate. But there is a truth that it's never too late. I'm an adult child of an alcoholic, and there's all kinds of books and self-help groups and workbooks that are written for people who grew up in troubled homes, in alcoholic homes. And I have one workbook on my shelf that's called It's Never Too Late to Have a Happy Childhood. And that's true. And the reason it's true is the good news for today. The reason it's never too late to have a happy childhood is because God's unconditional love is poured out for all of us, the children of God. God says to us, I love you forever. I'll love you for always. As long as I'm living, eternity, my child you will be. As I held Laurel in my arms and poured out the water of baptism, the whole church embraced her and held her in our arms saying, you are a child of God. We will love you forever. We'll love you for always. As long as you're living, God's child you will be. Those words are spoken for us too. Whenever we baptize one child, we all remember and renew as we stood and prayed together our own baptism. When we were held in the loving arms of parents and godparents, of church members, but especially of God himself, who holds us in his arms and says, I'll love you forever, for always. As long as I'm living, my child you will be. What good news that is for us. That no matter when we've experienced or not experienced love in our lives, God loves us, pours out that love for us. And in response to that love, we love one another as the disciples of Jesus Christ. In response to God's overpowering, awesome love for us, we love one another. One of the advantages of being in a church that spreads all over the world is that we learn about how people live as Lutherans across the world. A number of years ago, I attended an international institute and talked to people from around the world about what it's like to be Lutheran in other parts of the world. And I had a conversation with a bishop from Central Africa, and he told me that he found it very interesting the way that in the United States, or the Western part of the church, shares the sign of peace. When it's a sign of peace, we say, peace be with you. And he said, in my church, we take the hands of the other person, take both hands, look into the eyes of the person and say, I love the face of Christ I see. I love the face of Christ I see. That is what we are called to do as disciples of Jesus Christ, to love the face of Christ in every other person. When we exchange the sign of peace today, look at the person that you're greeting. This is the person that God has put in your way. This is the person that God has put in your path. To let God's love shine through that person to you. And God is using you to shine God's love through you to that other person. You are disciples of Jesus Christ when we love one another. This is how the world will know that you are a Christian, that you love one another. Amen.